Welcome to Crafting Solutions to Conflict, a podcast exploring how to deal effectively with conflict, actual and potential, good and bad. Engaging guests discuss a range of insights, and I cover tips and topics based on my 35-year fascination with conflict and my experience helping people with it. I'm your host, Jane Bettel, and my goal is to share a perspective on conflict that is both practical and positive. My guest today is Dr. Nate Regier, the founder and CEO of Next Element and the developer and co-creator of the Compassion Mindset System. Nate joined me for episode 63, published in March of this year, to talk about conflict and compassion. This time, we discuss the process communication model and his brand new book, Seeing People Through. Hello, Nate. I'm so pleased to have you back on the podcast.
It is great to be here. What a pleasure to repeat. Thank you so much.
Well, it's fun for me. Listeners, I would direct you to Nate's first visit, which was on March 11th of this year, and we talked about conflict and compassion. We have something new to talk about this time around. I'm looking forward, Nate, to talking with you about what you have been doing and what's about to be released.
Thank you. We are all on such an interesting journey here with what's going on in our world, and couple that with a book launch. It's quite an experience.
I hope a positive one as far as the book launch goes. Please tell us a bit about what is behind the book, and even more important, I think, what's behind the process that is spelled out in the book?
Yeah, good questions. The book has been in the works for, let's see, Seeing People Through has been in the works for almost 10 years.
Wow.
The framework behind the book is the process communication model, and we can maybe talk about that a little bit more later, but we've been trainers and consultants and coaches using this tool for a long time in leadership. But it actually started in a Chinese restaurant in Michigan on kind of a dreary Friday night, where one of my colleagues, Jamie Remsburg, was out there doing kind of a marathon training with a school district. And she was kind of, it was like Groundhog Day. She was training group after group after group on the same thing. She was tired, worn out. It was a Friday evening. She wasn't going to go home for the weekend. So she was ready to spend a whole weekend in the hotel. And she went out for Chinese food. And when she opened her fortune cookie at the end, the fortune cookie said, "The intention is not to see through people. The intention is to see people through."
Oh.
And in that instant, she said, "This is why we're here. This is what we do. This is what this framework, this model is all about." And it's so easy for people to misuse naming systems, categorization systems, to use them against each other and try to see through people. And so from that day, we knew that this was what the name of the book was going to be. It just needed to be written.
That's great. They had the title first, but then figuring out what the book is really going to say.
Yeah.
Excellent. So from that moment, how did you come to create the model the way it is? And then eventually I'll ask, why write the book?
Yeah. Well, the process communication model is a behavioral model of how different people communicate. And we didn't develop the model. It's been around for about 40 years, but we've studied and coached and trained with the developer, and we're part of a global network of trainers. And I operate as a certifying master trainer for one of about three or four in the world that help maintain the fidelity of the model. So we have a lot of experience with the model, but our specialty is leadership and the challenges that leaders and companies have trying to communicate across diversity. So we write a lot, we talk a lot, we present and train a lot. So we've been collecting ideas and kind of been working on the book for a long time. It just wasn't until about 2 years ago that I started putting pen to paper in an organized way.
So Nate, tell us, if you would, a bit about how the model came into being, and then how you became aware of it and decided to be involved with it.
We didn't develop the model. This has been around. Process communication model has been around for Oh, I would say 40 years, developed by a psychologist named Dr. Tabby Kaler. And I was introduced to this model when I was a clinical psychologist back in my previous life. And my mentor introduced it to me, and I was just blown away. I'd never seen anything like it. And I had studied all the models of personality and communication and conflict and everything, and I'd never seen anything like it. And not only that, but it just explained with such clarity things I was going through, things I'd struggled with growing up, and I couldn't get enough. So I just started studying and learning and became a trainer and then a master trainer. And now I'm a certifying master trainer, and I work with others around the world around it. But it has really changed my life in terms of helping me be more self-aware, manage myself better, and then effectively lead other people that are different from me.
Well, that's quite the recommendation. Let me ask you first, what was different about it when you saw it in relation to other things that you were already aware of?
What was different was it was immediately applicable by observing behavior. It was about behavior, not about theories, not about some framework in some psychologist's head about differences. And I came to learn that this model was developed by mathematical analysis of observed behavior. So it's incredibly accurate, incredibly predictive, and it gave me tools immediately to pick up on and assess what I was seeing and what I was hearing, and then respond in kind and be able to so quickly establish rapport. Like, it completely changed my therapy because I could establish rapport and trust with patients so much faster.
Very interesting. Well, tell us more about what you see as the key features of the model.
Well, the process communication model, a couple of things make it unique. It's one of the struggles that we have in those of us that train this model when we're trying to talk to people about it and we're trying to sell it, is that as soon as we say the word model, people get some image in their head. As soon as we say the word communication, they're like, oh, yeah, I've done blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And as soon as you drop the word personality, everybody thinks they know personality because they've experienced other things. And I guess we could say at the same time, it's none of those and it's all of them, because process communication model, the word process means in this context that it's not about what you say, it's how you say it that makes all the difference. And most miscommunication has to do with how we say things, not so much what we say.
Okay.
And that's key. And then the other one is it's all about observable behavior. So we're teaching people how to recognize and respond and communicate with different personality types in real time. And so I agree that personality really only matters if two or more people are trying to get something done.
Okay.
Otherwise, it doesn't matter how you're different. It only matters when we start communicating with each other, and then it matters a lot. But beyond that, PCM is unique because it talks about types in people instead of types of people. And that is significant because, you know, whether it's a four-factor model, the big five, the Myers-Briggs, whatever it is, it all talks about types.
Yes.
And PCM talks about six types, but it goes further to say all of them are in us, all of them are measurable, and all of them are arranged in a preferred set order for every human being. So what I love about that is it means that everything out there is also inside me. And that gives me the ability to connect and communicate with every other human being on earth.
Interesting. More of a bridge between people as opposed to putting them in silos of we are not alike in these various ways.
Yeah. And I mean, how many times have you heard somebody say something like, well, I'm an introvert, so don't talk to me. Or, you know, I'm a high D, so just get used to my whatever style. It's like, wait, I thought when you learned about your personality, it was supposed to make you more responsible, more agile, more capable, not more entitled.
Right. So tell us a little more about this idea of the mathematical observation basis of this. That sounds unusual to me.
Yeah. The developer, Dr. Tabby Kaler, was steeped and trained in the transactional analysis movement and kind of in that science back in the 70s. And this was all about observation of behavior and second-by-second interactions between people. And he was involved in marathon therapy sessions back in the day where, days and days people would be together in these intense situations. And they would do tons of video recording of people in these different situations and interactions, and then they would analyze it later. And so he started noticing patterns in how people said what they said, and that these patterns seemed to predict what was going to happen next. Uh-huh. And so he started just coding these behaviors and put them into mathematical formulas and let factor analysis and let correlations show him that there were actually six distinct behavior patterns that happen so fast, you almost can't catch it unless you know what to look for. And each one of those, he called those the mini scripts. And the mini script is kind of, it's a script that starts to run. It's so predictable, it's personality specific, and it goes so fast that it kind of leads us into deeper levels of distress. And until that time, no one had ever discovered and been able to actually observe that phenomenon happening. And they weren't able to code it and see that there's only six mutually exclusive patterns.
Well, I feel I have to ask, tell us about the six.
After he discovered how everybody behaves when they're not in a good space, then he asked the question, well, what do these people look like? What about the positive side of our personality? And so that's when he ended up naming these six types within each of us. They're named the thinker, the persister, the harmonizer, the imaginer, the rebel, and the promoter. Each one of them has very specific, unique characteristics, motivational needs, communication styles, and specific ways that they sabotage themselves in distress.
Oh, dear. And do I understand that part of the idea is that we all have all of them?
Yes.
And do we change over time, or is that something that's pretty much baked in from the beginning?
Well, the answer is yes. And that's another thing that's unique about this model is it measures both the dynamic and the stable aspects of personality. Personality, by definition, is stable.
Okay.
Developmental psychology research shows that our personality is basically formed by about age 7. And our temperament is present even earlier in life, and it's probably pretty heavily influenced by inheritance, genetics. Mm-hmm. So after age 7, our basic personality structure doesn't change, but we change. People change. Life happens. We go through stuff. And so the process communication model distinguishes the structure of our personality to how we are living within our personality at any given point in time. And it's measurable, it's predictable. And that's why most other models, if you take it again and again, it'll give you a different personality every time, because it's not measuring personality. It's measuring kind of things that might change based on life conditions.
Fascinating. Some of my listeners know a great deal about these other sorts of models, and other people, they just don't run into that all that often. Is the one you're describing one that's somewhat well-known currently, but more so after your book is published, very well-known, or something else altogether?
Well, it depends where you are. In America, it's hardly known at all. But in France, it's one of the signature leadership training methodologies in the country.
Interesting.
And it's a lot more popular in Europe, I would say, gaining a lot of traction now in Oceania, in Netherlands, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. And we're trying to do our best to get it going in the US because it's been around for 40 years. And, you know, it was used by NASA. It was used by a past president. It's being used at Pixar animation studios to do character development. So it's a powerful tool, but people just don't know about it.
Well, I need to ask, is that part of the motivation to write the book?
Yes, it is. It is. We have felt like there's a few great books about PCM. And we didn't want to write just another book about PCM. We wanted to write a book about leadership and show how PCM can help us be better leaders. And so people who read the book will learn about the model, but not really as much as they're going to learn about leadership and they're going to learn about themselves. And we wanted to create a bridge to show how this model is relevant and accessible and practical for today's leadership challenges.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that angle then, the leadership angle. And of course, I will invite you always to view that through the angle of productive conflict within the workplace,
yes,
between leaders and leader and, I don't want to say follower, but those that are asked to follow this leader.
You know, that framework is why we're connected, because we care so much about that healthy, productive communication. Conflict doesn't have to be destructive. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. And there's all this energy that exists within diversity, whatever kind of diversity there is. And so PCM talks about really clearly distinguishes healthy communication from unhealthy miscommunication. I think that's really a fundamental, important distinction, is there's healthy communication where we are connecting, where maybe recognizing each other's different wavelengths or styles or preferences, and we're honoring that and we're adapting. And then there's miscommunication where we are starting to believe things that are not true about ourselves and each other, and we're acting in ways to feel justified rather than to really effectively connect. And our modus operandi, kind of our agenda, really changes when we're miscommunicating, where the goal is not to be effective and to honor each other. So process communication model is very explicit about what does that look like? How do we know if it's happening? And how can we get things back on track so we can have healthy, productive engagements with people, even when we're very different?
That's the key, isn't it? I love hearing the idea that I subscribe to too, very much, that there is conflict that's good. That's how we learn from each other, and this is how we get creative together. It's the bad communication that leads to the bad conflict, and that's so unnecessary. If we can figure out how to learn from each other and benefit from those differences instead of seeing them as purely something to attack, to demonize, and to clarify, I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Where this model has helped so much with diversity and inclusion efforts and conflict efforts is that when you look at something like, let's take color of our skin. I'm a white male. I can't change that I'm white. I can't change that I'm male. I can do everything I can to be an advocate, to have empathy, to learn. But within me, I am not black and I am not a female. But with personality, that's not true. With every other human being, I might look at you and say, oh, you know, you're so brusque, or you're always joking and laughing. And I might try to act like, well, you're different from me and wrong from me because of your personality. But the reality is that type is also in me.
Right.
And so I have in me everything that's also out there. And I think that creates this bridge you're talking about that is just so powerful for connecting people.
And it goes against the idea of excluding others. They are different. I am better. Well, no, we all have different amounts of all the same things in us. Very interesting. Yeah. So what do you find is the reaction of people who know quite well some of these other models and really have an expertise in them? I don't mean folks who have heard of them, but people who really know these other models that are, again, better known perhaps in the U.S., when they hear about this one?
Well, people love their models.
Okay.
People are invested in their models. They've had good results with their models. They make a living off their models. So I would never want to ask somebody to give up their model. It's important and it's helpful. It's useful. It's a tool. What we have seen when people, our clients particularly, when they'll say, hey, I'm moving or I'm going to switch, is the reason they switch is because it's practical utility that they're looking for. They're looking for something that is very useful. It's behavioral. It gives me real strategies right now. I might come into a company and I'll say, here's what we do. And they'll say, well, how's PCM different from the last five models we've used? And I say, well, therein is my question, is why have you used five models? And what was wrong with the first one? And then they ask me, well, does PCM work? And I say, no, it doesn't work. You work.
Yes.
So the question isn't, does it work? The question is, what can you do with it? Mm-hmm. And that's where it really differentiates itself, because it answers the question, so what, now what?
Okay. Very practical. Mm-hmm. Is it typical, you find, for people to have tried something else before they come to you?
We've been researching this for about 9 years, and about 68% of all of our participants have used other models, frameworks for communication, for conflict. And we asked them, I said, how does it compare to other models of communication and conflict that you've used? And 97% of every single person who has used another model says that PCM is superior or far superior to anything they've ever used.
Wow.
And when we ask why, they don't throw other models under the bus. They just say it is more practical. It is, and it gets me results and it gives me specific behavioral strategies.
Just have to pause and listen to that for a moment. I'm such a fan of anything practical that to hear people say, this is what we like best about it. There was nothing wrong with the other ones necessarily, but they wanted to see the results. They wanted to put them into effect. and they want to do it soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that idea.
Well, and they want predictable results. You know, this, if we go at the lowest common denominator is something like men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Well, statistically, that's maybe on average sort of true, but it's not actually accurate when you look at every single interaction, because there are women from Venus and there are men from Mars, or whatever the other way around is. So if you apply a model with broad brush strokes like that, you get the lowest common denominator. Then you go to like a four-factor model. There's lots of them, Myers-Briggs, DISC, these others. And the struggle that people have is that two of those four factors actually are two personality types that are confused. Mm. And so people get unclear results because there's stuff that's not been distinguished. And PCM has six, which clarifies all that.
So from the leadership perspective, and I know that is your particular interest and I'll say passion even.
Yeah.
How does this help a leader as opposed to just someone who is involved in one-on-one communications with other people?
Yeah. Thank you. Because if anyone who picks up my book and peruses the table of contents, what they're going to see is words like honesty, authenticity, influence, agility. They're going to see hypocrisy. These are big issues and big problems that leaders face. And the inner life of a leader and self-awareness and self-management is getting so much more attention because it is so important. There's nothing worse than an unself-aware leader who is out there completely unaware of how they're coming across. They're unaware of what's happening around them. And so this book is very, very heavy on saying, how can we gain greater levels of self-awareness, authenticity, integrity, being able to influence in positive ways instead of negative ways? And that's really the focus.
So tell us more about, you've been using the model for a long time and you knew the title. Mm-hmm. What was it that, along with everything else that you have been doing, made this become a priority, that it was time to write the book?
I think part of it was that the message needed to be said. We needed better tools, and we weren't seeing really good frameworks to help leaders quickly fast track their kind of social emotional competencies. And I've been writing, publishing articles in online magazines and journals and presenting at conferences, and I blog weekly on these topics. And we were amassing about 5 or 6 years of kind of snippets that were just really powerful nuggets around the application of this tool. And so it kind of felt like, hey, we've hit a critical mass. We can put this all together and actually turn it into a story. And that was the challenge then. The real hard part was this is a fable. So I'd never written a fable before.
A new challenge. Good.
But yeah. And I guess with COVID now, at the time that we're recording this, COVID is in full swing. And we had no idea that leaders were going to be asked to be so much more and do so much more and connect in such many more nuanced ways than they ever had before. And this book is ripe and ready for that.
Fantastic. Very beneficial because, as you said, there is a lot going on out there and expectations for leaders to do well and a whole lot better. Mm. So this is fabulous that there is some opportunity for them to learn how to handle things better for themselves and for those that are looking up to them, I'll say, or expected to follow their lead in some fashion or other.
Yeah.
So Nate, this has been great to give folks a taste of what's coming with the book, and it is coming very soon as we record this. Could you tell us more about the other work you do in the sense of where could people find out more about you, your company, your work?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, our company is Next Element Consulting, and you can find us on the web. We have a special website for the new book, seeingpeoplethrough.com. And from there, you can see what the book's about. I've developed a new leadership profile that where a person can get their own personality structure, but the entire profile report is implications for leadership based on the book. And that's also available from that website. As you know from our last conversation, we are passionate about bringing more compassion to every workplace. And so our other framework is called the Compassion Mindset. And that's an enterprise level framework for for rolling out compassion in a very practical way. As you know, practical matters to us.
Love practical.
So the compassion mindset, next element, and seeing people through are all places you'll find us.
And certainly from my perspective, these are all ways to deal effectively with conflict. And when I say that, I kind of mean the shorthand of negative conflict, getting out of it if you're already in it, but better still, preventing it. And let's focus on the positive kind of conflict where we can benefit from the creativity and the collaboration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think conflict is one of the most untapped and plentiful energy sources in our world. And if we can learn how to use it, imagine what we can create.
Fantastic. So much fun, Nate. Thank you so much for coming back and telling us about your most recent upcoming endeavor.
Jane, it's a pleasure. Appreciate you and appreciate the work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the Crafting Solutions to Conflict podcast, please share it, leave a rating or review, subscribe through one of the major apps. For anyone new to podcasts, here's something you may not know. Subscribing is free. You can also find the show at craftingsolutionstoconflict.com. Comments or ideas? Let me know. Until next time, I'm Jane Bettle.